Hey, everybody, welcome to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. We'll be here with a new episode for you right after this quick note. BetOnline.ag is your number one source for all your basketball info, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest player reports for this year's pro basketball playoffs. BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all of your sports wagering needs, basketball, MLB, NHL hockey, right to UFC and boxing. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games you can play right at home. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Be sure to use our promo code BELIEVE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V. That spells BELIEVE. Bet online, where the game starts. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. My name is James Williams, a reporter and editor for the Orange County Register and the Southern California News Group. And as always, I'm joined here by my co-host, former UCLA linebacker, Josh Woods. Josh, what's going on, man?
You know, recovering, back from getting my wisdom teeth taken out. Mm-hmm. I could talk again. I'm feeling fine. Back to, you know, I wasn't able to train last week. That really
sucked. You weren't able to train last week?
No, the dentist mm-hmm. said I had to be at least 5 days. So
what did you do with yourself?
Majority of time, just laying around. Like, I was doing I'm getting ready to go. So like, just making sure things are checked. I paid my Canadian taxes.
Canadian taxes.
Tragic. Wait,
do you have to do taxes here and there?
Something like that.
Oh,
something. That's a whole ordeal. But, yeah, man, crazy. getting ready to go back up north.
Year three, right?
Year three.
That's crazy.
New year, new number.
A new number?
Say
me. Who left or what? How do you end up with a new number? And what number is it? Is it two?
I'm back to two, baby. Back to two.
What were you? You were like 17 or something?
No. See, I came in and I was 55. And it's like, oof. I've never wore a big number in my life.
That's a big number.
Like, I've always like
single digits.
Yeah. Or like wore like a skill position. And mm-hmm. it's funny too, because I don't know. I was looking for something on my phone and I still have the text of when I asked Maura if I could change my number.
From 2-2?
Yeah. 2-2. Cause I came in and I was 19 and like, and
wait,
I was like,
so as a freshman, you were trying to ask for two?
No. See, no.
Okay, I was like,
but how the process went was,
I'm like, that's crazy.
I came in, and they tried to give me six, and I said,
that's not bad.
But I said no, because Eric Kendricks had just won the Buckus the year before, and I did not want to come in and try to be like, oh, he's the next EK. Because
and everyone probably wearing six jerseys in the crowd and stuff.
KLS is my boy, but he came in and wore 11, so it was supposed to be like me be six, he be 11, and we like EK and AB again. And I was just like, ugh,
that's too much pressure.
The pressure,
yeah,
that's too much. I was like, I'm cool off that. And then I was like, yeah, I don't wear no big number. So, because at Upland I was 17, and then I was one. And then
that's right, you were one. I remember.
So
that.
I was just like, yeah, I don't do big numbers that don't look right on me. So they're like, some of the numbers, and I was like, oh, you could be 19. I was like, bet. So I'm 19, and then played 2 years in that. And then my sophomore year, I was like, dang, I look like Thomas Duarte, if you know who that is.
The name sounds familiar.
He was like one of the best tight ends that UCLA ever had, number 18. He's like a tight end receiver. And I was like, dang, I look like a tight end out here. Like, I can't be wearing 19 and playing linebacker inside. It just didn't. So then I text Maura, and Jalil Wadud had just changed his number to four. And he was like, he told me, he was like, yo, I wear a four, so two's open. And then I was like, bet. Texted Mora on the spot, like, head coach Mora, like,
Was it a long text?
It was like, hey coach, like, Jalil just told me he went to four. I was like, what do you think about me going to two? And then Mora goes, oh yeah, we'll talk about that next week because we have to get you. I want to get you out of 19 anyways. And I was like, oh bet, let's go. So then I think, I don't know what was happening that week. It might have been like we're on break or something. But the next week, this is when the coach's offices were in the student resources building. Okay. So it's across from Ackerman. I don't know why I'm forgetting all the names of the buildings.
Because you've been like three or four years out.
Yeah, I know. Where the Hall of Fame building is. So the one in between Holly and Ackerman right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to go, like, the offices are upstairs. You go upstairs. And then that was when, like, with Mora, you could low-key just walk up in his office. Like, some coaches might not allow that.
You got to knock or you got to make an appointment.
But as long as the door wasn't closed and nobody's in there, you can go in there and lay on the couch. It is what it is, right? But I was like, bet. Let me go get this number. I go up in there, and then he's like, yeah, we need to talk about this. And then he was like, I don't know if I want to let you get a single digit because I want our linebackers to look like
Ken Norton Jr. or something.
to start looking like NFL prototype linebackers. Mm-hmm. So like, I want guys to start having bigger numbers. And I was like, but EK wore six. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't want you guys looking like when scouts come for you guys to be looking like DBs or like guys not sure you, da da da. And I was like, but EK wore six. And he kept having reasons. I was like, but EK wore six.
Yeah.
And then he was like, he started hearing me. And I was like, honestly, coach, I was like, and it's going to show maybe I have versatility that I could play DB or these other spots. So I was like,
you were trying, you were reaching.
What? I had a whole game plan going into this meeting. I was like, I'm not wearing 19 and I'm not wearing
about it the whole way there.
And I'm like, I'm not wearing 51, 52, 53, 50. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's crazy. Yeah,
or like Miles never fit him. You know what I'm saying? But like, and Kenny Young was the last person wearing 42. So like, that was cool. But then it was like, yeah, like I'm not like, I'm not trying to wear numbers in the 50s. So I got him to, you know, do that. And I was able to switch going into my third year. And I was like my first year as a starter, and he let me wear two. And then two's been my number. Because I had wore two when I was like pop one, like little kid. So like that.
Damn.
And then now my boy was number two. He went to a different team.
Mm.
And then the Akum people like immediately hit me like, hey, do you want number two? And I was like,
you've been asking for now. How do they know?
My college number.
Yeah, oh, but they know that?
Mm-hmm. So they, because if you look like me, UCLA, like 19 doesn't come up, two comes
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they, and they already knew what the deal was. So it was like, you want two? And I was like, yes. Let me get that. And our quarterback Vernon Adams, who played at Oregon, he is like known for three. Like he has, it was weird because when he came to us, like he's eight, and like he immediately knew me, maybe because of my number and Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
But he used to like still wear his number three chain and like all that. So then I felt bad. And then I was like, hey, you want to pay me for it? I'll go back to 55.
Damn, you. But that'd be a hefty fee.
It all worked out. Your boy will be rocking too. We got new unis. It's going to be a great year in Vancouver. So any UCLA Bruins want to check out CFL games, and they just signed a deal with CBS Sports. So hopefully the games will be more accessible to all my people in the state. So
there you go.
Yeah.
All right. There it is. And you're heading out there next week.
Yeah.
So you already be out there, and then it's just grind time from there, huh?
I think it's like we start Sunday night walkthrough, practice Monday, first scrimmage that Saturday, and then
and then
that next weekend, first preseason game. So it'd be two weeks of practice, and then like
is that quick? Game. I thought y'all and have then, the whole off season or something, or like
like
spring ball, I guess.
We don't need it. Our season is already 18 games.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like, I'm already gonna be The C yeah, with 3 bye weeks, 18 games, 2 preseason games.
3 bye weeks is crazy.
Let's get this ball rolling. So you know what I'm saying? two weeks and then a preseason game, another week preseason game, and then bam, season. So you know, I'll be up there till hopefully late November, which I mean sucks because I'll miss the Bruins season, but hopefully I'll be back
for the USC game.
Hopefully either USC game. Because mm-hmm. Who's the last Cal?
Cal.
But it'll be home this year. Because last year I was back and I could have went, but it was in the Bay. So I missed it.
Yeah, maybe it is at home. I don't know why I'm thinking it's away, but you might be right about that.
So it'll be home. I might be able to hit that. You know, the boys balling, Pac-12 championship. You know, maybe playoffs, bowl game, whatever. But
it's gonna be the last Pac-12 season. Everybody, just wanted to take a quick break to remind you guys that the football season is right around the corner. And when you're headed out to the Rose Bowl, what better shirt to wear than a Believe in UCLA football podcast shirt? By doing that, you're going out, you're going to the game, you're supporting your team, and you're supporting your favorite podcast at the same time. Some of the proceeds go back to the podcast and help support the content and the different things that we have planned going forward. So what better way to, again, support your team and your favorite podcast than by picking up the shirts? Now, where can you find these shirts? They're available at the Believe Network store, and we made it very easy for you. Scroll down on this podcast. Check out the description. I got two links there for you for two different shirts. Make sure you check them out. Find the one that's right for you, and hopefully I see you wearing them out at the game. I'd love to see you wear them. Speaking of this season, your defense was looking pretty good out there. I told you before we started recording, they had 3 interceptions. Kay Medrano, DJ Justice, and Alex Johnson. All 3 of them had interceptions on Dante Moore. It just was not a good day for the quarterbacks. So, you know, a lot of passes that weren't accurate. They're throwing interceptions. Garbers got chewed out a little bit by Ryan Gunderson, the quarterback coach. Like, Garbers threw a touchdown, and I guess he threw it in traffic, maybe is what it was. But Chip raised his voice a little bit. It was like, because I heard him from the parking lot, and I'm like, ooh, like they don't really like speak up like that, especially the Garbers or something, like the quarterback. So I was like, ooh, this is a spicy practice. So.
And the thing that might be interesting is that might be by design. Coaches do have scripts. Coaches do know what you're, especially Chip. Chip knows what the defense is running for the practice and what the offense is running for the practice.
Right.
There are some unscripted periods, which are mm-hmm. rare. Like, you'll probably see, I think, having the TV come out, the network come out Friday?
I forgot to ask about that. I would imagine that they will, even though it's not a spring game, but I would imagine they're going to be out there.
You'll have, especially defensively, more unscripted live periods or what have you. But other than that, like coach, you know, Chip's like we always say, Chip's a football genius. So he knows
the psychology. He's got to figure it out.
But and I'm saying he knows the defenses. He knows. Mm-hmm. He lets the DCs do their thing, but mm-hmm. he still knows what we're running. He still knows, you know, that. So, but psychology of it, this might be a test to see how quarterbacks will, you know, what they will do, how they will respond, you know, seeing what he's going to get out of these guys, put them in.
Especially while there's a competition. Yep.
Especially to see what they're made out of. So this might be kind of on purpose. It's like maybe they're running certain, plays that have their, you know, these coverages. Mm-hmm. And you see it a lot, especially in camp, like as it goes on, like the offense will be rolling and the defense will put an install in or have something. And mm-hmm. it's just like, we're shutting them down. And then offense comes out with a coverage beater. And then it's like a new problem. And then we got to try to fix it. We try to fix it and we shut it down. And then the offense has a new, like, you know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. it's like kind of back and forth, and probably this is, you know, the defense's day.
It was definitely the defense's day.
They honed in on what the offense was doing, and they locked it up.
But they've been having a lot of good days. And, I mean, it shows because there's more experience, like more returners on the defense. Obviously, just when you think about it, you're looking for a new quarterback. You got a good group of running backs, but you don't really know who it's going to be necessarily. I mean, TJ Harden's looking like the guy, but he was behind Zach, so he wasn't getting as many reps as he's going to be getting. The offensive line, you got Spencer Holstich back, Garrett DiGiorgio back. They were kind of missing some time, so now you got those guys back, and then they're going to get back into the starting rotation a little bit. They just picked up a guy. I'm blanking on his name.
From Colorado.
Oh, yeah, Chris Wiley from Colorado, who started like 27 games. Most at left tackle. I think one was at right tackle, but started 27 of the 30 games he played at Colorado. So that's some experience coming in there, because they're kind of they actually recruited five linemen. One's from JUCO who's there. You still have the guy from Fontana Summit, and then two other transfers that have yet to come in. So it just looks thin, but hopefully it'll kind of come along. But it's going to be all new guys. So the chemistry is still going to, it still has to be worked on. Garrett's barely jumping back in. Duke is the only consistent one there. So, and even then, Garber's had a fumbled, Duke snapped in the ball. I don't know if he was necessarily in shotgun, but he was fumbling the ball in his hands. It just was not a good day for the offense at all.
Yeah. I mean, and to go off of the O-line thing, I mean, having a vet center is the best possibility of, because they kind of run the show on the O-line, and they majority make calls, make checks. So that's a good thing, that the O-line has going forward, is having a veteran center to run the show. And, I mean, don't know what the quarterback situation in that room. Meetings tomorrow morning. Or even none. I mean, this afternoon they definitely watched it. It was probably a tough day in the meeting room tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Maybe, I said one more practice left. So maybe this is get them riled up and for them to have their best performances on Friday.
You know what? Friday is going to be fun. I know it's not a spring game, but it's like, even if the network is there, that's one thing. But they have like 3 4-star recruits that are coming in for official visits. They have 2 tackles that are already committed for the 2024 class. They're taking official visits. And there's like 4 other guys. So it's like 8 total that are coming in for official visits. So it's going to be busy. You're going to have people coming in. They want to see that last practice. So that one's going to be popping. I'm looking forward to that. But we were talking about the offensive line, and we were talking about how you only got guys like Garrett and Duke who are coming back as returners. Part of the reason why is because 2 of those guys, 3 of them, departed for the NFL or went to explore the NFL and declared for the draft. 2 of them got drafted. Raekwon O'Neal got signed as a free agent, undrafted free agent, or as a rookie minicamp invite. I still don't know. The graphic looks like he's in a Carolina Panthers jersey.
I believe he went to the Panthers.
Yeah, but I tried reaching out to them, and they haven't gotten back to me. No big deal. But we'll talk about some of the draft guys here. But obviously, we'll start with Gaines and Mafi. So obviously, we'll get to Charbonnet in a minute. But he got drafted first in the second round, first UCLA Bruin off the board. And then I'm thinking, DTR Mafi. I was not expecting to hear John Gaines's name first. And I'm like, I'm just minding my own business. I'm like, I'm going to go downstairs, get something to eat. The rounds just starting. They may not call people for a while. And right when I get downstairs, I hear John Gaines the second. And I'm like, what? I was like, wow. Did you get to watch the draft or how did you hear about the news for the guys?
I just kind of see when he's coming on the timeline. I don't really have the patience or.
I'll be watching all of it. I watch every minute of it. I'm a sucker for it. I love that stuff.
I'm at that point where I don't really need to see it. Like I'm gonna see my guys when they get, following them. I'm gonna get anyways. I don't need to watch. Especially because they be having all them, how they be trying to have all them sob stories. Once they start doing it like that, I just kind of turn off by it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll just waiting around to see, And of course I get the alert on my phone for UCLA guys. So seeing, John Gaines to the Cardinals, is going to be joining Chris Barnes. And that's a team that really needs offensive linemen to protect,
Kyler,
I don't know Kyler's timetable coming back from ACL. But offensive line was one of the big things for them. So, them bringing him in, that's big. I mean, I expect
that says something.
That he can be in a rotation or you know, be a the sixth man or even he start, you know, I'm saying like, and knowing John, like just how smart he is and his IQ, I know he's gonna, I've heard things. I mean, I didn't get into the NFL yet or have, you know,
there you go. You never know.
Yeah. But even being up in Canada and from the things I've heard from the other NFL guys is how smart UCLA football players are when they get somewhere where like we are taught in a pro way from our end ship, where like the schemes and the way we like our football IQ is high and we're able to pick up playbooks and, you know, techniques and all these things pretty fast. And even guys that I didn't think were the smartest football guys are like go to the league and like geniuses. And they come back and I'm like, you're the smartest guy in the room. I just being like, whoa, you said it was easier than here.
That's crazy.
Like, I was like, well, if I make it, I just know that's a good
thing. You're gonna blow him away.
Yeah. And so just knowing how John, you know, was at UCLA and how much help he was.
And versatile dude across that line. So wherever they need him, he can make it work.
Mm-hmm. And just, I'm saying, like, even when he wasn't playing yet or starting it, the help that he did, you know, scouting and helping, I know is going to translate to the Cardinals, and he's going to be a key guy for them in a role doing something. As I said, whether it's starting or being a sixth man or a guy that can play guard, center, guard, scouting for them, you know, all those things. So, side for him. And then
Mafi was so predictable. Like, even from when we were talking to him on the podcast, I wish I would have known. Like, I could have sounded really smart, like tweeting it out. I know Mafi's going to the Patriots. His cousin played there, Devin Asiasi. He's not there anymore. He's with the Bengals now. Mm-hmm. But Bill Belichick is, like, on campus often. And what was the other reason?
Where they were talking to him a lot at the at the game, right?
At the Shrine Bowl, he was working with their coaching staff. So like there was everything there. Like, I'm like, why didn't I think of that? But
I thought it was there because remember the Chargers were like had been following him a lot. So I was like,
yeah,
it could be either of the two. But what I texted you was like, I feel like they're gonna love Mafi. I was like, he really might be a career guy.
A Patriot
guy through and through for his whole career. Like, I could just see them loving him at guard so much and him never leaving.
I could see it. He's going to be a guy. I'm excited for him. I kind of wish maybe we'd gotten more reaction videos from some of the guys. We saw Dorian's reaction video. I don't know if you saw that. He jumps in the pool. I don't think it was right after, but
his whole setup just like leading up to it is just he definitely went the Vegas way.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he's in Vegas. He lives in Vegas. I was kind of surprised. I was wondering what they were going to do. I think there were some former UCLA players there. I think I recognized, like, DeLon Hurt. Might have been some other guys. So DTR, already familiar with Watson. So he instantly comes in knowing a guy. They've thrown the ball around at UCLA before. I think the thing that's interesting is we were talking. Where did I hear? Oh, I heard DTR talk to the media after. And he... DTR says, oh yeah, that's, you know, it's cool, I already know Deshaun, I'm gonna come in, learn under him, and eventually take the reins from him. He said that, and I was like, oh, I'm like, Dorian, did you kind of forget how much they paying that dude?
Yeah, like,
he ain't going nowhere. But hey, you never know. I mean, Deshaun could get hurt or whatever, maybe it doesn't work out, but I think he kind of would fit in. I think he'll fit in well there. He's there with Felt. I don't know if there's any other Bruins there.
Currently, I do not believe there are.
But he's there with Felt. Actually, another guy from Bishop Gorman that he went to high school with got drafted there as well. I think like two rounds before. And I think there's another high school teammate of Dorian's that's already there too. Dorian's mom was raised in Ohio. I think he has an uncle that lives in Ohio, so it'll work out.
I really thought that it'd be the Eagles. I really thought the Eagles were gonna take him.
I thought it was gonna be the Eagles, the Bengals. Anytime the Bengals, the Eagles, or the Patriots came up, I'm like, this is going to be it. This is going to be it.
But, I mean, it makes sense, though. Like, Cleveland, Deshaun Watson, like, that's okay. I could mm-hmm. see him fitting, you know, fitting in that system. Yeah, and then him having felt that's going to be – I know both of them are happy about that because what else are you going to do in Cleveland?
Exactly.
So now you have a boy at least, you know, out there with you. So. Mm-hmm.
And he's been there. He's been there a while. And, you know, he's going to tell him where the barber is and all that stuff. He's already kind of, you know, got his roots settled in. One that kind of raised some eyebrows was Zach Charbonnet getting drafted in the second round to the Seahawks. And the reason was one, because the head coach is the former USC head coach, Pete Carroll. And that was funny when he calling when they call and tell Charbonnet they're going to draft him. They said, hey, I'm not going to hold you being a Bruin against you. You're going to have a fair opportunity here. So I thought that was kind of funny. But because they have Kenneth Walker there, a lot mm-hmm. of people are like, what are they doing? I know some people were saying, like, Charbonnet should go somewhere where he's going to be the featured guy right off the bat. And I kind of believe that, too. But I think the thing with Kenneth Walker was he was hurt for a portion of the year. And if anything, I think one thing that Kenneth Walker, from what I hear, doesn't really offer the way something that Zach could offer is kind of being a receiver out of the backfield and maybe doing a little bit. There's some different things that they'll be able to do with Zach. So he's not going to be the starter right away. Maybe it's for the better. And if anything, it'll keep him fresh. And that's not something he's not familiar or that's unfamiliar to him because he had a shared time with Brent Brown here at UCLA. So I think it'll work out. I'm sure Zach is going to be happy wherever he goes. So I'm not worried about Zach, but that's not a bad fit. I think they were saying the Eagles and the Seahawks had the best draft. They were both got like A grades.
Yeah, for sure.
And of course, the Eagles freaking got every Bulldog they even traded for a Georgia Bulldog.
I'm saying, yeah, they replenished everything that they lost or dudes that they let go. I mm-hmm. was wondering, like,
they were talking about that, like, during the Super Bowl, like, oh, they're going to be losing so many guys. How are they going to bounce back?
They had to pay Jalen Hurts, and it was like, okay, you pay him. Okay, mm-hmm. what are we going to pay everybody else? And it's like, dang, they're letting him go. Like, guys I know left personally to go to other places. And like yep. The coordinator's leaving, and like the coordinators are kind of pulling guys too.
Mm-hmm.
And then for them to yet be able to fill in with
they all reloaded these Georgia like guys,
crazy. And then back to Charbonnet,
mm-hmm.
another one where that offense can be. I mean, Seattle in general, bringing back Bobby and hopefully you know Jamal mm-hmm. Adams being healthy, but just that offense can be dangerous.
They got Jackson all the weapons Smith they got. And Jigba.
When they already, mm-hmm. when they already had two of the, you know, one of the best tandems, sleeper tandems with DK mm-hmm. and Lockett,
yeah.
Noah Font, like, so putting Charbonnet in there. And I mean, the way that the NFL is in, I mean, even say that UCLA, like, majority teams don't only use one back. Like, mm-hmm.
that's true.
Even McCaffrey comes out a little bit, you know, Derek Henry a little bit, and Saquon, I mean, majority, but a lot of the teams, you know, running backs run with tandem. So,
and you drafted him in the second round. So it's like, so you didn't draft him not to use him.
Yeah. You're expecting to use him. And always having a switch up is one of the toughest things, especially for other teams and linebackers. Mm-hmm. Cause it's like, you kind of know what this one does and that one does, but it's kind of annoying where it's like, oh, I'm playing run heavy. Now this guy's in, now he's faster. I got to worry about the pass and all this, but that's two. They have two legit solid running backs now.
Yep.
Definitely excited to see what he does in Seattle.
And speaking of Seattle, they also signed Jake Bobo, the receiver from UCLA, as an undrafted free agent. They also signed Mo Ostling. We are going to talk to Mo next week, so make sure you stay tuned for that episode. Mo's also going to be in Seattle. And then they also got Jacob Sykes, the defensive lineman, is also going to Seattle. So say what you want about the Eagles getting all the Bulldogs. The Seahawks got all the Bruins.
And that's going to be interesting because I do also know Uchenna Nwosu, who's the SC mm-hmm. guy over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. Like all the Bruins are going up there and they already had some Trojan guys. So, you know, that's going to be interesting.
Do you think that like that will benefit the guys or like, again, with Dorian's situation with Felt or even with the guys on the Seahawks, like just knowing that there's some at least one dude you're familiar with in that locker room?
I mean, just having somebody to go through the new things with or have somebody to lean on, even for mm-hmm. me when I went up up north, Stefan Flintoff, punter, was UCLA. Like, he was already up there, so it was a guy that I could ask questions about and, you know, help me get acclimated. So, I mean, it's going to be the same thing for, like, Dorian. And then having, like, you know, for Charbonnet and all those guys, having each other, you know, in the same rookie class of, like, it's like when you have an actual class together and you get to go with your friends, or like, yeah, your friends in that class, and like, you guys can like, oh, how you can do the homework, how you do the assignment, where are we sitting? Like, you have people that you're familiar with to go through things. So I think that always is going to benefit guys when they're going with people they already know. I mean, and then same thing with Gainsey. He has Chris Barnes,
Chris who's Barnes,
also
yeah,
new too, right. But just having somebody that's kind of at OTAs now and getting familiar. So you're,
And then just kind of reading off the list a little bit, the Denver Broncos, it took some, I guess they draft the guys and then they do the undrafted free agents and then they do the rookie mini camp guys. So you have Bo Calvert, Stephen Blaylock, and Jack Lanier, the long snapper. All three of them are going to the Denver Broncos. So you got three Bruins in the with the Broncos, and then Kaz Allen going to the Washington Commanders. Look, Josh. So they signed Kaz. I was like looking for the dudes, and he was like the last undrafted free agent for UCLA that I saw. And I guess I looked up because it's like hail to the Commanders. So it's HTTC is the hashtag. And I click on it. I see this Twitter space is like, I go in it. Cause I'm just like, oh, let's see what they're talking about. Maybe they're talking about Kaz. They literally were talking about Kaz. And I hear them say Hall of Famer, the next Devin Hester. Like, they were super excited. They were telling the other people, like, we just signed this dude, a track athlete. We just signed this dude. And they're like, where? How do we know we signed? No, we signed him. Like, they were super excited to get Kaz.
They got a steal because Kaz should have been drafted with the just the speed and the skill he possesses. Not many, you know, I don't know how he slipped, but, you know, that's the process. He is, it is what it is, and he's there now. And, you know, the rebuild that they're doing over there, hopefully, you know, I don't know the quarterback situation, but as a returner, I think he can make an instant impact.
I think he'll definitely get some time as a returner at the very least and kind of work his way into position. But even if you're just a special teams guy and you're, you know, you specialize in something, that alone will keep you around. So I think Kaz is in a good spot. Azizi Hearn signed as an undrafted free agent, I believe, with the Las Vegas Raiders. And then Michael Ezeke stays local and goes to the Chargers. I had heard going into it that the Dolphins, there's like two or three other teams in there. What it came down to was I think Ezeke really kind of stood out during that local day, which Shea Pitts talked about. We'll talk about Shea in a minute. But Shea, when he was saying, oh, yeah, I'm at the local pro day with Dorian and some of the other guys, Ezeke must have did pretty well for himself because he was at the top of their list. He was one of the first ones I found out about that signed right as the draft ended. So good on Ezeke. We'll see what he does. I think they already have like three Chargers. Two of them are kind of locked in already at tight end. So we'll see what happens with Ezeke. But even if he just has a good showing for himself throughout the offseason, someone else can always pick him up as well. So we'll see what happens. Maybe
right.
he works out.
Just making the team in some form or fashion. That's the most important.
Making a team, whether it's the team that signed you originally or not. We mentioned, I think, Raekwon O'Neal earlier, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he's with the Carolina Panthers, if I'm not mistaken. But then also, I want to get to Shea Pitts. Good on Shea. We had Shea. Make sure you go back and listen to the episode from, I believe it was 2 weeks ago now. Shea Pitts signs, or I think he got a mini camp invite to the Tennessee Titans. So he'll be out there with Kyle Phillips, who we talked about a little bit earlier today. You guys will hear that conversation later. But yeah, so every dude who participated in the UCLA Pro Day is off somewhere with the team.
So, that's what happens when you win.
You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 guys. And it was crazy. Like I told you, I followed every minute of the draft. One, because I do it anyways. There was 1 year I tweeted out every single pick.
Oh, that's crazy.
All seven rounds. I was bored or something. But I tweeted out like every pick. I don't do that anymore. But I was following it because I have like a goal or an objective. Like I'm waiting for the UCLA guys now. And it was just so much fun because it's compared to like previous years where it's like two guys, one guy. it was just kind of like, you know, where is it going to happen, if it's going to happen. But now it's like there were so many dudes. It was a lot. It was cool. It was cool to see, especially the guys that I've covered for a couple of years now, to see them kind of get their name called and have Mel Kiper or whoever kind of talking about them and saying that they have a chance to be a potential starter. They were saying about John Gaines. They said that with Moffy. They said there was a lot of buzz on Dorian too. And Dorian went a lot higher than I even thought he was going to be. You know, I thought maybe he'd be a seventh round, sixth round guy. He went in the fifth round, was one of the top five quarterbacks going into day three as those who were available. Jake Haener, who's a dog, who was with Fresno State. And they, he had that really that kind of breakout game against UCLA. He got drafted. Oh, I don't know if you saw Chase Kota signed as an, with the Lions, his cousin, who Brady Breeze, who was a Rose Bowl MVP when he played for Oregon. He's going out there with him. Brady Breeze, I think, went undrafted and has been there for like 2 years now. And then there was another. There was another former. Caleb Johnson, who was there after you. I forgot where he signed, but he went somewhere. The Bengals?
I think he went to the Jets. And
or the Jets,
Mitchell Agudeh, I heard the Dolphins.
I didn't hear about Mitchell. I really didn't go and look, but I imagine he landed somewhere. I'll have to look for that. But I wouldn't be surprised if he went somewhere. So, but it was just good to see, like, even guys who were no longer. I kind of wanted to see if Chris Murray went somewhere. I didn't check.
He landed with the Buccaneers, I believe, for undrafted.
Okay.
I believe
maybe that sounds right. Yeah. I think I did see that. But yeah, so you got some guys. Did you get a chance to, as we kind of wrap things up here? But did you get a chance to text any of the guys or? Did you hear from any of them?
I definitely tried to reach out to, you know, the guys, or when they posted, you know, retweeting on Twitter and all that. Just so proud of all these guys. I saw them, you know, this whole process. And that's also, it's a testament to UCLA and just the growth, because it is crazy because, when you're winning, everybody eats when you're winning. Like, you just have more opportunities when you're winning. Unfortunately, like when I was, you know, coming out and, you know, the year before me and after me.
Yeah.
When you're not winning, you just don't have as many opportunities. And
it's hard to get the eyeballs. Yeah.
My class with COVID. So there was no rookie mini camps. There was no OTAs. There was less training camp bodies.
That's tough.
So that was just, it's just different. And so these guys, I mean, stayed there, went through COVID, went through all these times. And when you're winning, everybody has more opportunities. So as long as UCLA keeps winning, this will continue on. You know what I'm saying? We saw early on with Mora, with how guys were constantly, same thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody leaving during Mora or in the earlier years, everybody did pro day, either got undrafted free agent or rookie training camps. And that was a thing. And then you saw that slow down and cut off for a few years, and now it's back. So, you know, shout out to all the guys. Like, I tweeted out, I'm so proud of them. I mean, it's a great class, great group of guys. Like, all those guys individually are just great guys, and, you know, are going to attribute, you know, and add a lot to whatever teams and franchises that they're going to, and deserve it all.
And it's great, because you'll see, when you see, you can say guys went to the NFL out of your program, guys are going to be attracted to that, and that's going to bring recruits, help with the recruiting and whatnot. So it's all full circle, and this should help UCLA in the long run. But with that said, Josh, the next time we do talk, and we'll kind of figure out where we go from here. But until then, we'll catch you guys in the next one. Thank you so much. This is the Believe in UCLA Football podcast, presented by Bet Online.